Soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy without spot or wrinkle by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I've been teaching on how much zeal the religions of this world have for God, the unimaginable things that they will do to try to appease God is unbelievable. When you look at different religions, you can see how totally out of whack they are. I will give you a few examples. Look at the Muslims. They believe so much that they are serving God and that they're the only right religion. They will even kill themselves for Allah, which to whom they call God. They will kill their own children, their own wives, their own husbands, and their own daughters. They will kill their own if they feel that they have gone out of the way as far as the commandments of the Quran is concerned. That's how dedicated some of those people are to their false religion. And then you take the Hindus. I have seen on YouTube where they would crawl for miles and miles and miles. Very rich people, so dedicated to their gods that they will crawl on pavement for miles and miles, hundreds of miles, to reach a certain temple where they worship. That's how dedicated they are to their god. And then we see religious organizations that are closer to home. Unimaginable ideas they're pushing. The clothing they wear, especially the women, thinking that somehow they're appeasing to God in that. I've heard one lady tell me how holy she felt in the dress that she was wearing. I want to ask a question here. Was the dress made for the woman, or was the woman made for the dress? The same argument as the scribes and the Pharisees had with Jesus about the Sabbath. You can look at how these things work and how the traditions of men have somehow turned it into some so-called godly thing. But these things are all going to be stripped away. In the end, every person will have to stand naked, ashamed before God because of how they tried to appease him. The Bible teaches us that there is only one way into the kingdom, and that is through the blood sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. But alas, it has even come into the churches who claim to be Christians, who call upon Jesus for salvation. They have taken on those rules, laws, and regulations, and even teach them as being godly. Yes, I have no problem with whatever dress you wear. I understand traditions, but if people think that somehow it adds on to their godliness, they are definitely going in the wrong direction, and they are listening to a deceiving spirit. So today I'll teach on an interesting subject, on how the child of God should walk and what makes him a child of God. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you, O Lord, and you will anoint this message. I know, Lord, it's a little controversial, but you will open people's ears and hearts. I come against the demonic forces who are going to try to twist the meanings of my words. I pray that people will see the freedom and the joy in what I'm trying to teach here. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When one studies Christian organizations today, we can clearly see that many are turning back to the beggarly elements of this world to try to somehow please God. It seems like that they do not understand that God wants them to be free already of the traditions of man. First of all, before you get into all these traditions and all these ideas of what men have taught over the years, I want to bring you your attention to a scripture found in John chapter 6 in verse 44. It tells us, "No man can come to me except the Father has sent me, who sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. So the first question is, do you know that you know that you belong to Jesus Christ? Are you on the foundation of Jesus, or are you hoping that you're on the foundation of Jesus? Not too long ago, I asked a guy if he was a Christian, and he said, I hope so. And I almost asked him if he was a transgender, a spiritual transgender, because he didn't know whether he was a Christian or not. It's like some people who don't know if they're male or female. If you're a Christian, you're not going to know that you are one. It says, no man comes to me except the Father draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And in John 6, in verse 45, it tells us, it is written, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. So it's in a man's heart where he knows he belongs to God. He is being taught of God. It's a revelation from God that you belong to him. There is something very interesting that I'm going to read to you here. It tells us when we try to grasp the truth of the word through information, instead of revelation, you will not get the full picture. Many, many people just listen to preachers or teachers or hearsay on how to become a Christian, and they follow the regulations or the rules that the people put out, and then they call themselves Christians. But you do not get to know or see the truth until you have a revelation from God himself. Regardless how you have been taught, it tells us, every man therefore that has heard and learned of the Father comes to me. They will be taught by God. It's God that teaches us through revealing to our spirits that we are his children. So if you're doubting your salvation, maybe God has never spoken to you. Maybe you don't believe the word. Maybe you're trying to be a Christian. The question I have you ever tried to be an elephant? It's not going to work. You have to become an elephant. You have to be born an elephant to be an elephant. You don't try to become one. It is like that with Christianity. You don't try to become a Christian. You have to be born a Christian. It's called being born again. And then it says, the Father will teach you. When that revelation opens your heart, then it's God that speaks to you and not man. And then it tells us how we understand what we understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So right here it explains, once a person understands he's a child of God, once he knows that he belongs to Christ, once he knows he's born again by the Spirit of God, once the revelation hits him, and then he also knows that he has no sufficiency in himself, but our sufficiency is of God. It's not we that did it, but it's God that did it, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So at the same time, God opens our minds and hearts to the truth of the Testament, and we are able to explain the way of salvation. And we don't do it because it's just written in the Word. We do it because the Spirit has revealed it to us. Because if our revelation or if our knowledge only comes from what we read and we do not get the revelation from God, then we may lack the Holy Spirit. it may not be there. We can know everything in our heads, but if it's missing in our hearts, then we miss the mark. This is how very, very important and serious it is when it comes to Christianity. You are not a Christian just because you repeat it after somebody. The revelation has to be in your heart. It has to register with your spirit that you are a child of the kingdom of God. And once that happens, nobody takes it from you. Nobody can deceive you. I have had some experiences already with people who claimed they were Christians. They spoke the same language. We enjoyed fellowship, studying the Word of God. Then along comes somebody who teaches them that everybody is a Christian. Jesus died for the whole world. So now everybody is a Christian. And right away those people believed it and accepted that fact. Not understanding that they have to be born again. They have to love the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us, those who love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. For some reason, the deception was easy for those people. I couldn't figure out why they would believe such heresy when it was so clear in the Word that you have to accept and believe what Jesus did for you before you can become a Christian. But they fell for it, and now they're preaching that everybody's saved, regardless who's born and regardless what they did. They don't have to accept Jesus. Jesus died for everyone. That's called universal salvation, and it's a doctrine of devils, and people need to understand that. So we need to open our hearts to those facts. We know that we're not sufficient in ourselves when we are Christians, but it's Christ that makes us sufficient. It's through his blood where I am made pure, holy, and free from the clutches of Satan. It's through his blood sacrifice that I am made a citizen of heaven, and not by the good things that I do. So where do we stand with this? Are we ready for the soon appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ? We in the body of Christ need to work together. The Bible teaches us there is no division in the body. We are all members one of another. We are all connected together, and we need to operate accordingly. But in today's church world, there is a terrible division that brings so much animosity, it's hard to believe. So let's open our hearts to these interesting truths. The Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming back for his bride. And it'll happen very quickly. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. And that could happen imminently. It could happen at any moment. Jesus could come back for his bride today yet, before I'm even finished making this program. So I'm asking you a question today, those of you who are not born again. Yes, the church will be at odds with itself. They will maybe be at each other's throats, but the Bible teaches us when you are saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then all these things are not accounted unto you. He has covered your sins. He has taken care of them, and you will be forgiven. Even if you don't ask for forgiveness, you're still forgiven, because many people don't know if they have made a mistake, so they can't even ask for forgiveness because they don't know. But for those of you who are not born again, you will have to spend your eternity in the eternal lake of fire. if you do not turn to this Christ. So open your heart to these interesting truths and become a blessing to yourselves. Amen.
Tell me that I should have waited. They say I am missing a whole world of fun, but I am happy and singing.
Us very clearly that we are able ministers of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that greater works will we do once he goes to the Father. But the question I have, why is the church so powerless today? The Church of Jesus Christ should be doing what Jesus did. He was out preaching the gospel. He was raising the dead, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and even commanding the weather to stabilize. We know exactly what happened in the writings of Jesus, where the account is given of the life of Jesus, what he did. The devils had to run when he came. And we know that whenever there was somebody sick or people were, even people in the grave for 4 days, when Jesus came along, everything changed. But the question I have, what is the problem in today's churches? It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but we get our sufficiency of God. God gives us the power. But where is the power? Where is it being proven? There are places in the body of Christ, in certain churches, that see signs and wonders and miracles where people get healed and the power of God is revealed. But in most cases, it is not. And here is a good reason why. In Mark chapter 6, it tells us, when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many heard him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this that is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joes and of Judas and of Simon. So they're naming his brothers. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. He was just an ordinary guy according to this scripture. We know who he is. He is the brother of James, of Judas, and of Simon. In other words, who does he think he is? And then Mark chapter 6 teaches us what happens when people are so sarcastic, when they actually don't believe that these things can be done by somebody who they know or who is amongst them. It seems to be like, even here in North America, when we hear of somebody doing great signs and wonders and miracles in Africa or in some third world country, everybody is applauding him. But as soon as it happens here in North America, some call it a strange spirit, some call it of the devil, and on the accusations go, how he is a deceiver and all of that. But here is the real reason why these things don't happen amongst us so readily as it seems to happen in Africa and in third world countries. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and amongst his own kin and in his own house. And now listen to this. And he could dare do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. So he was limited to healing a few sick people. He was limited to doing small things in his own country because of their unbelief. They did not give him any honor whatsoever. They had sarcasm. They had no belief that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was powerful enough. And this is what happens today. Many, many Christians and churches do not believe that we are capable of doing these things today. We are here in Jesus' stead, we have to remember, and he has given us this commission to go about, cast out devils, heal the sick. So what excuse will we have? Well, one excuse will be, well, we couldn't because of the unbelief of the people. And I can already attest to that. But in the meantime, people are being healed. They are being raised from the dead. There's incredible signs and wonders and miracles in many parts of the world. Whereas the church in North America sits and watches as these things pass them by because of their unbelief. So we need to open our hearts to this interesting truth and become a blessing to ourselves. For the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Even though we are all one in Christ, we will still have to give an account of how we dealt with the gifts of God that he so freely wanted to give us. So let the Lord open your heart to these interesting truths and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.